The Business News Hour is supported by the certified public accountants at Shaw and Desmond, looking beyond the numbers for you and your business. ShawandDesmond.com and Insight Advertising, connecting businesses with consumers at InsightCubed.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you've made the trip one more time with us again today in studio with us, and we've been looking forward to this for weeks, as a matter of fact. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Bankers Trust. His name is Sukarati, and he has an amazing story. And we're going to spend some time talking about him, the changes in banking, what he looks forward in the future, because he gets to retire here pretty soon. Sukar, welcome to the Business News Hour.
Thank you for inviting me.
You, sir, are perhaps one of the most humble individuals I have ever had the opportunity to meet. And not only that, but you, this is legend in the Des Moines Metro. You take every call. People call you all the time and take those calls.
That's important.
Why?
Why? Because people call you because they either have a need for meeting with you or they have a need for getting advice. But whatever it is, there is a need. So if there is a need, I feel an obligation to at least make my best effort to respond to them.
And you have responded to thousands of people in your years as with the Bankers Trust. How has the bank changed since you first started there?
Well, you know, when I first started, about 1 week later, we realized we were into the Great Recession, and I questioned my timing. And I said, well, this is really great timing. And then you kind of realize that those are the cards you're dealt. You make a commitment. I had signed a 10-year contract, so I was going to fulfill my contract. The economy really started taking a deep nosedive, and I was concerned about the fact that we had about 425 employees at the time. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, you know, they come to work every day. They try their best. Everything is in a recession. So my primary job is to make sure that we steer through and make sure that we do not have a layoff and everybody continues to perform and everybody feels welcome, they belong. So you kind of look at your core values and you conclude, this is kind of what we need to do. And everything goes in cycles. So you knew that it was not going to last forever. But the first 2 years were very difficult. The year before I joined the bank, we were roughly $2 billion in size in terms of assets and about $11.8 million in earnings. This year, we'll finish the year at $4.5 billion in size and $47 million in earnings.
And not a bad run.
No, it's a great run. Our earnings have quadrupled, but it is truly a team effort. It was nothing that I did. As much as I would like to believe that I had something to do with it, what I tell everybody is, this has happened in spite of my pathetic leadership. And I'm the CEO only because I'm older than anybody, not any more intelligent. So you know, it's been a great run, and we've had some really good years. More importantly, we've taken care of community. We have 585 people now, and we continue to do extremely well on all fronts. But we basically realize that the industry itself, unlike manufacturing, you don't have intellectual property patents. So how do you really survive in this marketplace and thrive? And I think it's really a function of service. Have a passion for service and have a passion for going the extra mile. And if you take care of your customers and if you take care of each other, the rest will all fall into place.
Sukarati, ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bankers Trust. Let's peel back several years. You're from Uganda. And from parents that came from India, is that correct?
Well, great-grandparents, yes.
Great-grandparents.
Uh-huh.
How in the world do you make that transition? Uganda is a third-world country in many aspects. What was life like in Uganda?
It was very easy. First of all, the weather was perfect. We were right on the equator, but the altitude was so high that the weather was in the 70s year-round. And then in the low 50s at night with low humidity. So, you know, I just assumed that the rest of the world was like that. I was wrong, especially when I came to Iowa. But, you know, the reality is that I wanted to go to Berkeley because I had never heard of Iowa. I wanted to go to college in the U.S. My family had done extremely well. So I thought I would join the family business.
Which was?
Several. Agriculture, farming, commercial real estate, mm-hmm. insurance, you know, four or five lines of business. And I just fully expected to go back and take over the family business, which is what my father wanted me to do. So I applied to Berkeley, got accepted, and my parents decided that I had perhaps taken the liberty of applying without permission. But my mother, who was pretty open-minded about it, they decided to come and take a look at the campus. Instead of just coming to San Francisco and going to Oakland, they decided that they could afford to go around the world. So it was 3 months before I heard, so I was anxious, because back in those days there was no internet or no cell phones or no any sort of communication. So when they returned, my mother basically at the airport when I picked her up, or I picked up my parents, my mother threatened to kill me if I ever talked about coming to the U.S. So I tried to find out why, and she said, you know, the boys wear their hair down to shoulder length. They smoke this terrible stuff called marijuana. They protest the Vietnam War, and the girls are really aggressive. And I said, can I please go? No, I didn't say that, but I wanted to. So I realized that that was not going to happen. Ultimately, a friend who was in the U.S. Agency for International Development, the U.S. AID program, he was American, did a lot of work in Uganda with the farmers. So he convinced my parents. His exact words were, why don't you send him to a good conservative school in the middle of nowhere where nothing ever happens and the weather is the worst in the world? My father said, there is such a place in the U.S., and he said, it's called Ames, Iowa. This guy had a degree in agronomy, and that is literally how I ended up in Ames. And then a year later, my family was evicted from Uganda by Idi Amin. So they lost everything, literally in a span of 2 hours. So here I was.
In a span of 2 hours?
2 hours. They were very lucky to escape alive. So, you know, here I was in Ames telling myself, okay, now what? And I said, you know, it's one of those things that you go through in life and you realize that while you are going through adversity, it's really hard. But you kind of tell yourself, you have to believe in yourself, you will emerge out of it, and when you emerge out of it, you'll be a better person. And, you know, when I was in Ames and what I went through, the faculty and my fellow students, how they treated me, I'll never forget. It was just remarkable, and I kind of told myself that as soon as I'm done, as soon as I'm able, I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving back, and that's what I've done. I feel like I owe them, and I also kind of said to myself, I don't know that I would ever want to leave Iowa because I fell in love with Iowa.
Iowa State University alum, ladies and gentlemen, good stuff. Suka, what that experience about having your parents stripped of everything that they had worked for decades to build from Idi Amin in Uganda, what impact did that have on you and your life?
Oh, I suspect that, you know, probably without a doubt, being uprooted was very difficult. Being separated from my family was very, very difficult. And I'm not sure I would be the same person today had it not been for the fact that realizing that I really needed I was trying to rush through college. Iowa State was in the quarter system. And I said, you know, I'm going to have to earn money. I am going to have to accelerate my education. And I decided I was going to try and get it done in 8 quarters. And I also didn't want to compromise my grades. I still had this great fear of my father threatening me if my grades weren't good. So that particular summer, I found a job in a small company in Waukee. It was a startup. And I was going to commute from Ames, and a friend told me, he said, you know, you need to stay with my family in West Des Moines. It's a lot closer to Waukee, etc. And he said, the house is a ranch. It's finished. The basement is finished. It's my room. And it's just my parents and my 16-year-old sister. He was going to do his engineering internship at what was then Collins Radio in Cedar Rapids.
Sure.
So I declined. You know, the idea of spending a summer with a family I'd never met. And keep in mind, I did not grow up speaking English. I didn't start learning English until I was 11. Some would say I still don't speak English, but that's a different matter. So I declined. 3 days later, the phone rings. It's his mother calling at 6 a.m. And she said, young man, you're spending the summer with us. Do you understand? And I said, you know, this sounds just like my mom telling me what to do. And I said, I was taught to respect my elders. So there you went.
There
I went. And ultimately, it turns out that their 16-year-old daughter, 18 months later, I married her. So we married for 43 years. And had it not been for the influence of Mary, who is a physician, went through pharmacy, medical school, etc., as a married woman, had it not been for her influence, I suppose I would probably be a different person. She's had a very positive influence.
She has had a positive influence.
So we've been very happily married.
Interesting story. Sukhu Rati, ladies and gentlemen, from Bankers Trust. Banking is a numbers game. We report on the stock market here every single day. What's, you know, who's winning, who's losing, and where the markets are playing. But it's also very much a relationship game, isn't it? How do you balance that? Do you balance the numbers?
I think the relationships are really important. Very, very important. It's kind of, I translate it to know your customer. And I think if you develop the relationship, you're going to know your customer better, as opposed to somebody who you don't really have familiarity with. You also have to use some pretty fundamental, simple principles of banking, i.e., make sure that you underwrite the loan, as opposed to fall in love with it emotionally, because you can now book a loan and get a high yield, and your balance sheet looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is that if you make a $10 million loan and it goes south on you, you could have invested with a lot less yield in U.S. Treasuries and done better. But if you do a good $10 million loan, you're that much farther ahead. Plus, there is an element of giving back to the community. So, you know, if you invested in treasuries, if we took all of our deposits and invested in treasuries, we'd have 100 people at the bank.
That's
right. That's not what this is about. So, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you would speak to the recession and all 400-plus employees that you wanted to keep employed,
mm-hmm.
which was very important to you.
Yeah, very important, yeah.
That speaks, I think, to a different level. We're seeing at the drop of a hat, if investors aren't pleased, you know, they start cutting staff, cutting this. That's life-altering for people.
It is. And that's why, when you work for a privately held organization, you can make some investments. You can think longer term. We have 585 employees. We've created a lot of jobs. We've promoted people. We've done a lot of great things for our employees. But I think about the fact how much they have done for us. So that's the least I can do. So, in that context, being privately held is very important. The Ruan family has been very good about letting us have our autonomy. And from, you think about what we can do in the community. We put $1.3 million back in the community. We are very supportive of the community. But there is a very good reason for it. Our employees are involved in the community, so we want to support their involvement. And we will do 17,000 hours of volunteerism this year.
And 100 years of service.
Yes, we were, it's interesting. 100 years ago, we were founded, and it was Bankers Trust then. It is Bankers Trust now.
Yeah, that's very important. One of the things that's very soothing and comforting about Bankers Trust, and I live in Windsor Heights, and so mm-hmm. Betty Ridout and her
So
crew,
you know the group, yes.
I know the group, yeah, very well. And I go in that bank 3-4 times a month, 5 times a month. The same people are there.
Yeah.
The same people are greeting you. The same people behind the registers, in the corner office. That's a testimony, I think.
Yeah. That is important because they know the customer and the customer feels comfortable that I come back next month and I'll still see the same people, as opposed to a revolving door.
And there are many places out there that do have revolving doors
of
training or whatever.
Absolutely,
But it is remarkable when you take a look at that. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on before our time is so short, and I wish we had much more time to do this. You have been lauded for your belief in diversity, for giving people of all faith backgrounds, of all colors, of all streams, of all nationalities, an opportunity. Why is that so important?
Well, I'm an immigrant, and I look at this and say, I was given a chance. And I think everybody, when you have five people who sit around a table to make a decision, if they come from five different backgrounds, the decision they will reach is a better decision than five people who think the same way.
how true that is.
Yeah.
And so diversity in decision-making, diversity in banking, diversity in business is a good thing.
Very, very good. We speak 27 languages, and we make sure we advertise on the front door what languages we speak, because there are certain groups in this community who have a hard time with the English language. They're first-generation people here, and we want to make sure we make them feel welcome.
And it is becoming a more diverse community. Absolutely. Every year.
Yeah, exactly.
Sukharati, thank you so very much
for
spending time.
Oh, thank you for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good luck. We didn't even say, what are you going to do after retirement?
I'm going to continue serving on corporate boards, two or three, and I'm going to teach in an MBA program.
Very nice. No golf.
Some, but not all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sukharati, ladies and gentlemen, the departing, soon to be departing, CEO of Bankers Trust. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, thanks so very much for joining us. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer. Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. Patrick Wood is, of course, the program director for the radio station. Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. And Jimmy Olson is the voice of the Business News Hour. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night. Business News Hour. Thanks for listening.